Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Today is the Holy Spirit's day, Pentecost Day, the Red Day, a day full of grace, a day full of favor. It is the day the crucified, risen, and reigning Lord Jesus Christ breathed out on his church, which at that time was 120 believers gathered together in a single room. Amazing, isn't it? The entire Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church on earth, 120 believers. But not for long. It's Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 in Greek. It's just the number, 50 days. In the Old Testament, it was the harvest festival of the winter wheat, 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in the tradition of the rabbis, it celebrated the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus. And so the Lord employs the symbolism to its maximum effect. It was now 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, 7 weeks. 50 days after Jesus did his exodus from death to life, comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the new Torah, if you will, the gospel of Jesus. And it's preached to all the world in all of its representative languages. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the grave, the first fruits of the resurrection harvest is gathered. 3,000 people heard the gospel of Jesus, believed in his name, and were baptized. Pentecost also indicates the beginning of the last days, leading up to the last day. Everything has been done for your salvation, for the salvation of the world. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has ascended to the throne of glory at his Father's right hand. It is finished. There is nothing left to do except to broadcast the victory, to proclaim it, to preach it, to make it known far and wide. And that kind of activity takes breath. The church has to have breath if she is to proclaim the victory, the good news of Jesus' reign, the good news of his victory over death by his death and resurrection. Before you can shout, and especially before you can sing, you need to inhale. You need to take in a good deep breath. That's what Pentecost is. Pentecost is God's exhaling and the church's inhaling. The Spirit is the church's breath, literally the breath of Christ, the rushing wind, the tongues of fire. That's Jesus breathing out his Spirit upon his church, giving life to the church, giving breath to the church, giving breath to speak and to proclaim in his name. The breath of God blew through the church like a mighty wind that day. Divided tongues of fire rested on each of the 120 disciples that were gathered there. Wind and fire, those were Sinai signs. That's what went on with Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus himself promised that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And here it is, Holy Spirit, fire, and wind, and breath. And the disciples were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in various languages and dialects. And the people who were gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost from all over the Mediterranean world heard the good news of Jesus in their own ears, in their very own languages and dialects. Pentecost was a miracle both of speaking and hearing. The Holy Spirit working in the mouths of the disciples, the Holy Spirit working in the ears of the hearers to convey the gifts of Christ. I've come to realize that's why two people can hear the same sermon and have completely different reactions to it. I've learned that over 17 years of preaching, no two people hear the same sermon the same way. I used to think it was me. Then I used to think it was you. Now I think it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I plan to say one thing and I end up saying something else too. See, that too is the Holy Spirit. I believe on the basis of Pentecost that this is precisely how the Spirit of God works. He works through means. In this case, words, nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives and subjects and predicates, human language. You know, the sounds that we produce with tongue and teeth and breath and air molecules bouncing around. It's one of the most amazing gifts of the Spirit that the Word of God, that living Word that kills and makes alive, that Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, can be conveyed in ordinary human language. It's just like baptism, rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit worked through something so plain and simple as water. Or it's like the Lord's Supper, the sacrificial body and blood of Christ made available to us in ordinary means of bread and wine. God works through ordinary things, creaturely things, earthy things. That's how the Spirit works. That's what makes things spiritual. Not that they're not material, but that the Spirit takes up material and uses them for his purpose. The languages spoken here were actually coherent human languages, too. Remember that. The true Pentecostal church preaches coherently. The true Pentecostal church preaches things you can understand. Not gibberish, not babbling. Languages that could be understood. Even dialects and accents, that much. People heard the gospel in their own native tongues. And the purpose of that was God's way of saying, this is for you. For you personally, this death, this life of Jesus, this baptism, this forgiveness, this salvation, this is for you. God wants you to hear this in your own language. Take it personally and trust it. Own it for yourselves because the words for you require all hearts to believe. That's what the languages business was about. For you. Our Old Testament reading spoke of a different kind of language event, the Tower at Babel, where God intervened in the ambitious plans of men to build a city and a tower to the heavens by confusing their languages. I love that. It's wonderfully subversive and simple. If you want people to scatter and not have anything to do with each other, you just change their languages around a little bit so they can't understand each other, and they'll be sure to hate each other and scatter all over the place. It was a protective act of judgment on God's part, lest a united humanity do something even worse. And look at all the mischief we do when we get together. See, it reveals God's mistrust for us and our unity as sinners. You always hear talk about everyone all being all together as one and how great it would be if we all got together and could just be one people all over the face of the earth. And the Lord doesn't appear to think that this is a very good idea. Instead, he looks down on the plans of men and he knows the mischief that sinners will make if they just all get together. The place where God confused the languages of men was called Babel. It sounds like what it is, babbling. It forms the root for Babylon. Babylon, the city that man builds, the city that is destined for destruction on the last day. See, we are reminded by this narrative that the ambitions of man apart from God will result in nothing good, and only in chaos and confusion. All of our attempts to be united, to be one people, will amount to nothing more than tower building without the Lord. And it also reminds us who runs the verbs here, if not the nouns. We don't. God does. We don't reach up to him. We don't reach up to him with our towers or with our religions. He comes down to us. God comes down to us to be one with us and one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now at Pentecost, the confusion of Babel was not really undone. The diversity of languages remains. Instead, God uses it. He takes the diversity of languages as a sign of his Spirit, and he brings people together not by putting them into a common language, but by giving them a common Savior. There is one Lord, there is one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one Spirit, one bread, one cup, one body. Our union in Christ is the true unity of the church and the only way in which we can be united in a way where we won't destroy one another. Now, the world remains skeptical. You know what they said at the time of Pentecost. They heard all this preaching in various languages, and some people thought that the disciples were drinking at 9 a.m. Though I personally have never met anybody whose language skills improve with drinking, much less expand to other languages and dialects. This doesn't happen. You see, as the last days play out, skepticism is bound to increase, as will false teachings and false teachers, deceptive spirits, all sorts of spiritualities, any distraction from Jesus and his cross. In fact, I would hold that out as a great litmus test. If it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus and his dying and rising for your salvation, then it probably isn't the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in the Jesus delivery business. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." Our day is one of many spirits and many beliefs. It's a religious babel out there. And sometimes that religious babbling even comes into the church and confuses her language a bit too. We ourselves are tempted. We have this itch for new things. We're fascinated by spiritual things, whether they're from the Holy Spirit or some other spirit. Some people expect the church always to be like Pentecost, like the opening day. Wind, tongues of fire, speaking in languages, thousands baptized at one time. And that may indeed happen once in a while, here and there, as needed. But that's not the ordinary way of the church. That's the church's opening day. The ordinary way of Pentecost is the preaching of Jesus, baptism, body and blood. Immediately after this episode in the book of Acts, it says of those who were gathered at Pentecost, they continued in the doctrine of the apostles, in the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers. In other words, they got together and worshiped, much the same way we do here, coincidentally at 9 a.m, preaching, teaching, fellowship in the breaking of the bread, and the cup, and prayer. I started to think this morning, thinking about Pentecost, could you imagine what would happen if wind and fire and speaking in tongues happened every Sunday? That'd be kind of cool for a while, I think. Might even draw a crowd. But I know it would happen within a month or two. We'd start complaining about the wind. It's blowing all the paper around all over the place, messing up our hair, you know. Or we'd start to worry that those tongues of fire might kind of get loose and singe something or hurt the little kids, or I don't know. We'd form a committee, probably. Try to deal with this wind and fire business. And all these languages would start to get on our nerves after a while, and we'd start to say, please, couldn't we just all talk in one language? Because that's a lot easier on the ears than all these languages and dialects. Jesus knows this. He knows what's best for his bride, the church, and he's promised always to be with us. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus can both go away and come to be with us at the same time. In one sense, Jesus did go away when he ascended. He withdrew his visible and touchable presence. We can't see him, we can't touch him, we can't hear him directly, nor would we want to. Not in his glory. It's not safe for us. But in another and greater sense, he does come to us. He comes to us by the Spirit that he sends. In the spirited word that has Jesus' own imprimatur on it, that the disciples who wrote it did so guided by the Spirit who called all things to their memory and recalled to them everything that Jesus had told them. We can trust their word. It has Jesus' Spirit upon it. And that same Spirit is at work among us here today, subtly and humbly and hiddenly, delivering the peace of Jesus, delivering the gifts of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Unearthly peace. That's the big Pentecost gift. Not wind, not fire, not languages, unearthly peace. The peace of sins forgiven, the peace of being able to stand before God as a sinner justified, declared righteous, the peace of having death conquered for you, so you need not fear your death. You know where this leads, to the peace of resurrection, to eternal life. That's Pentecost peace and Pentecost joy, brought to you by the Spirit of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.